I'm going to start with a little bit of a discussion today about hakafos. And the reason I want to discuss with you hakafos is because during Corona, and to the extent that there is a definite danger involved, the authorities, at least in this part of the world, are not excited about hakafos. In fact, in one of the tshuvas I saw, it would make sense to incorporate the hakafos into Shmini Atzeres one day earlier for Chutznikim. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that, why that is beneficial, and whether it's halachically acceptable. Okay, now I'm going to read to you a paragraph or so in Tshuvas. I'll tell you which Tshuvas I have in front of me. I have the Minchas Osher of Rav Osher Zelig Weiss, and I also have a short Tshuva here from Rav Shechter that just came out very recently, or at least I just became aware of it. So I don't know if you have that. I'm not sure. If you don't, I apologize. And he introduces this discussion with a halachic issue about the status of a suma. And the halacha is that you can call up a suma to get an aliyah in the Torah. And even though he himself is not capable of reading from the Sefer, but nevertheless, he could be called up to the Torah. And the question that we want to ask is, if he can't read from the Sefer Torah, how can he make a bracha and he can't even read from the Sefer? In fact, the poskim say that it's not enough that he sits in his place, wherever he sits in the synagogue, and makes the bracha, but rather he has to go up to the Sefer Torah, up to the Shulchan, and make the bracha there. And the question is, what's the meaning of a suma who cannot read from the Sefer to stand next to the Shulchan and recite the bracha? So Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik, and he says that there's an aspect called Kavod HaTorah. The very fact that he, the Suma, gets up from his place in order to walk to the Shulchan in honor of the Torah, that itself is Kavod HaTorah. Now, how does this in any way impact on our discussion about hakafos during Corona? He says the following, that some of the poskim are so concerned about Corona that they would like to advocate that a person who is called up for an aliyah should not stand next to the balkore. And they go even as far as to say that we shouldn't call up any aliyos, and the Balkori should read all the aliyos. And in such a case, Rav Shechter claims we should not add any hosafos. And if we're going to do that on Yontif, it means we require 5 aliyos on Yontif, and that's all. Max it out at 5 aliyos. So the Balkori is now going to get all 5 aliyos. And if that be the case, then this whole, what's it called, piyut, that we recite when we call up special people for the Torah, you know, someone who's been honored with this kavod or that kavod, you have chasen Torah, you have chasen brachos, and so forth and so on, it doesn't seem to be appropriate for our Shmini Atzeres / Simchas Torah during Corona, because we have the same Ola who's there for all the 5 aliyos. And not only that, he says that there's no point to calling up Maftir. Maftir itself is really a Hosaf. It's the sixth Aliyah. So we call it Maftir to give out a sixth Aliyah, so to speak, to honor and involve another individual in the Kriya Sator. But in this case, where there's only one person getting all the Aliyos, then the Maftir should be skipped entirely. Now, in the case of Simchas Torah, not only do we complete the Torah by reading Vizos HaBracha, but we start immediately in the next Sefer Torah, the next Aliyah, to read Breishis. And then after that, we read Parshas Pinchas, meaning the Karbonos and the Musaf of the day. So Rav Shechter says that all these are called Hosafos, because we basically have five Olim on a Yontif. Anything beyond the five is called a Hosafa, which is fine if you're going to be Mechabed somebody else. And let's say Reuven is leading all five Aliyos. Now you're calling up Shimon to read Breishis, and you're calling up Levi to read the Maftir from Parshas Pinchas. That's all adding Hosafos. But in truth, now you can have the same Balkore, who's going to read not only the five Aliyos of the Yontif Leining, which is, in this case, Vizos HaBracha, but also, on top of that, he's going to be reading Breishis and Parshas Pinchas. So he says the following. This is pretty way out, but this is what he's paskening for this year, Corona year. He says, "Min ha'nochon sheyikru gimel aliyos b'parshas Vizos HaBracha." We should collapse all of Vizos HaBracha into three aliyos. And now you have to call up two more aliyos. It's going to be the same person who's getting all three, and now plus two. We're going to have a fourth aliyah, which is Breishis, a fifth aliyah, which is Parshas Pinchas. And the Balkore is going to make the bracha on all these five aliyos. And then he's going to recite a Chatzi Kaddish. And after that, Now Rav Shechter wants to know, when should he recite the Chatzi Kaddish? Normally, we would recite the Chatzi Kaddish before we read the Maftir. But now the Maftir has become integrated into one of the five basic aliyos. And therefore, Rav Shechter says you should pick up the Chatzi Kaddish, and you should lay it down after the Haftorah has been read. And I'll explain to that in a minute. And he recited all the brachas over the Haftorah. So there's one person, as we call it, a one-man show. He leaned first three aliyos, and he completed Vizos HaBracha. He leaned Breishis as the fourth aliyah. He leaned Pinchas as the fifth aliyah. And that immediately after Pinchas, he should be reading the Haftorah without any hefsek whatsoever. The only reason we have a hefsek with a Kaddish is because we're setting up another Aliyah, which is the Aliyah of Maftir. Now we're cutting out Maftir. There's no justification of a Chatzi Kaddish. And therefore, he should go straight into the Haftorah by connecting the Haftorah to the Kriya itself. And after he finishes all the brachas of the Haftorah, at that point, he should recite a Chatzi Kaddish. Now we get to Hakofos. He says, Adif, Sherak Hashatz O Hagav Yakif Levado Boshanos. He's talking about the whole week long. And only the Shatz is going to go around with the Oshanos. In my shul, here in Har Nof, they have what's called social distancing. So they require 2 meters between each person who's going around in the Hakofos. Honestly, I mean, don't publicize this. I don't know if it really works. I mean, you know, all of a sudden somebody stops and like five people bang into him. But, you know, behind, it's very tricky. In any event, Rav Shechter advocates that only the Shatz, or if you want to be Mechabi the Rav of the community, is makif for Hoshanis. Now you may ask, why bother if just the Shatz is going to do it? And the answer is because that's Zecher LeMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, every day of Sukkot, they were makif with the Hoshana around the Mizbeach. So our daily hakafos with the Hoshanas during the 7 days of Sukkot is a Zecher LeMikdash. And in this particular Magefa, we're going to be Mekayim the Zecher LeMikdash with one person, as we said, a one-man show. Let it be the Shatz, and he's going to go around the, the Bima. And he says the same thing should apply in Simchas Torah. He suggests that they cut out all dancing, the Shatz, or again, possibly the Rav of the community, should go around once for each Hakafa, all told 7 times. And again, he's really truncating the service of the Hakafos. I mean, again, every shul is different, every community, and certainly the yeshivas are very different, but we usually have for each Hakafa, I would say, even if I'm not exaggerating, dozens, in the case of yeshivas, maybe even hundreds of going around with the Sifrei Torah. He's saying just once for each one of the hakafos. Now, again, you wonder why bother with the hakafos. And on Simchas Torah, I don't think we have a concept called Zecher LeMikdash, to the best of my knowledge. But I think that this minhag of hakafos is based on Kabbalah. Joe?
Just with going back just to Hoshanas, with you should take the Sefer Torah out of the Oren and put it by the Bima, and he's going around the Bima. The Sefer Torah should be down there. It should be in the Oren while he's making his
correct. Correct. The Sefer Torah is now going to replace the Mizbeach as it was at the time of Beis HaMikdash, and Reuven is going to take the Sefer Torah, put it on the Bima, and Shimon, who's either the Shatz or the Rav, is going to go around the Bima with his Hoshanis.
To go around the Bima without the Sefer Torah there is kind of...
I don't think that's... That, again, it's a Chatzi Zecher LeMikdash, but it's not a complete Zecher LeMikdash. Now again, the entire Tzibur is going to recite the Hoshanis. And that's a kiyum of tefillah in and of itself. So that's meaningful. He says, again, I don't want any dancing. Pen yavoli de michshol binyani archakos. And again, I would have suggested, but he's actually, between the lines, he's rejecting my suggestion. And my suggestion would have been that we would have, we might cut down the hakafos, but we could have limited dancing in two different ways. Number one, we could have, let's say, I'm just throwing out a number, 5 people that are designated for each hakafa to go around with the shatz or the rav with social distancing. And for the second hakafa, you call up another 5 people that are designated. If you have a family, then I think even here in the Board of Health, they are makil for a family to be together without any social distancing, since they live together in the same house anyway. I mean, social distancing is almost a joke when it comes to a family. So, for example, in our community, we have one family that has 6 boys. And they're all wild. I don't mean wild in the negative sense. I mean wild in the sense that they jump and they dance and they, you know what I mean? So they could certainly, I'm just telling Chaim to join, okay? He doesn't see me, but now he sees me. Anyway, so they can certainly do Rikudim, but Rav Shechter seems to be very short-winded when it comes to Rikudim. He said, "Lo yirkidu klal, Penya voli de michshol. Now, once again, you know, if he was talking to communities which are red or maybe yellow or whatever the various colors are. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Toronto is green. Am I right? Oh, you don't have those designations? Oh, well, here this is legally binding. For example, my son-in-law, David Flegg, I don't know if you know him, married to my daughter. Nobody knows him? Anyway, he's Hershey Kanner's first cousin, or his father is, that's my mechut. So David Flegg tells me that his yeshiva has a very large contingency from Toronto. I remember last year, this is the second year in a row that we hosted David and his Talmidim for a Simchas Beis HaShoeva and HaSukkah. And I remember last year, I recognized four people from Toronto. This year, and he has a smaller group this year, it's Shana Dalid in the yeshiva, so there are only two Torontonians. And they didn't have to go into Bidud. Now, again, that doesn't sound much very radical to you, but every other student who got off the plane had to go into quarantine, except for the Canadians, because Canada has a green designation. Now, that could change overnight, Chas v'Shalom. I'm telling you, I hope it doesn't. But you should know that's a radical thing, that that they treat Canadians differently than any other country. So that this psak of Rav Shechter might sound a little bit foreign to Canadians, you know, that we're worried about michshol and we can't allow any dancing whatsoever, even if we follow all the rules of the game, pen yavo lidei michshol. But if I would read this here in Israel, everyone would stand up and clap and applaud. I shouldn't say everyone, but in the modern Orthodox community. Now, what Rav Shecht, I think, is looking at are places like Teaneck and Passaic and the Five Towns and, goes without saying, Borough Park and Williamsburg. I mean, all these places are really getting red, if they're not already red. Red is the worst color, you know, green is the best. He says the following, Ukshe Yaakov, when the Shliach Tzibur is going around for his hakafa, and we're going to multiply that by seven, lo yaniach ha-sefer al ha-shulchan. He doesn't want you to put the sefer down on the table, but rather he should be holding the sefer Torah in his hand. Now, I don't know exactly. I can tell you half of it, but the other half I can't fill in why he says this. Now, it's true that we don't want somebody standing at the bima holding the Sefer Torah. That I understand. And that's based on the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon felt that the concept of hakafos is me'ein, at the time of the ultimate redemption, the Gemara tells us at the end of Tainis, Oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasas mechol ha-tzadikim, v'hu yoshev ba'emtza. And according to the Gaon, that's what hakafos is all about. We're duplicating or anticipating, I guess maybe would be a better word, what's going to happen at the end of days. However, he goes as far as to say that you can't put the Sefer Torah on the Shulchan. That's not what the Gaon says. So that part I can't fill in for you. Maybe he means on a health basis, we're afraid that if somebody's holding the Sefer Torah, maybe he'll come too close to the shots or whoever's doing the hakafah. I don't know. But I think from the Gaon's perspective, there's nothing wrong with putting the Sefer Torah on top of the Bima. Now, in the case of 7 days of Sukkos, when we go around the Hakafos, we're holding the Dalet Mina. Obviously, on Simchas Torah, we're not holding the Dalet Mina. We don't have Dalet Mina on Simchas Torah. Therefore, we should have the Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah going around is like holding the Dalet Minim going around. So there's a definite parallel between the Hakafos of the 7 days of Sukkos and the Hakafos of what we call here Shmini Atzeres, or if you want to call it Simchas Torah. And the only fundamental difference is that when it comes to Simchas Torah, we're going to drop the Dalet Minim. Obviously, we have to leave them out in Simchas Torah. So what should we be carrying for this Hakafa in order to replace the Dalet Minim? And the answer is the Sefer Torah itself. Now, the Sefer Torah, which is being carried now, and is going in a circle around what? And the answer is, according to Vilna Gaon, around the Shechina, around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're taking the Sefer Torah, according to the Gaon, and we're going round and round HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, as I said before, I don't really begin to understand, according to the Gaon, why we should be holding the Sefer Torah. The Gaon is saying that it's a machol tzaddikim. And if you ask me, I would say that put a Sefer Torah down on the Shulchan and let's dance around the Sefer Torah. He's understanding it that we always have to be carrying something and we're going around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are we going to be carrying if not for the Torah itself? Because we don't have the Dalet Minim anymore.
Could you say, Rob, that he's saying our Madriga is getting higher and higher? At first, we've got the Dalet Minim, we're going around the Sefer Torah, and then as we're getting closer and closer to Hashem, now we have the Sefer Torah, Hashem's in the middle.
Well, let me accept one very important point, I think, that you're making, Joe, and that is that if the Gaon says that the Hakafos on Shmini Atzeres are Zecher or Me'ein, the Mechol HaTzadikim, then you're right. During the 7 days of Sukkos, we haven't reached that Madriga, so we need the Dalet Minim. And that gives us the status of Tzadikim.
Sameach, everybody.
I only eat in the soup if I can.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for thinking me, John.
I just wanted to say that we miss you in the sukkah. We're having dessert.
Oh, okay. So that, what was I saying? So that when we want to show up in front of the Ribono Shel Olam and dance around him as if we are tzaddikim, me'ein what's going to happen at the end of days, then we have to hold the Dalet Minim. Our way of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and uplifting ourselves as tzaddikim so that we deserve that machol is the Dalet Minim, which represent basically the Tariq Mitzvahs. When we get to Simchas Torah, we grab the Tariq Mitzvahs, and that's the Sefer Torah. Obviously, it would be ridiculous to take the Dalet Minim. It might even be a violation of Al-Tosif. But again, the part that I don't understand here is, why is he objecting? I don't see that he spells that out, to putting a Sefer Torah on the Bima. And I don't even think the Gaon would object to that. The Gaon doesn't want a person in the middle because God is in the middle, the Shechina. But to put a Sefer Torah in the middle, lying on the Shulchan and dancing around the Sefer Torah, I don't see why the Gaon, again, it's beyond my comprehension why he would object to that. Okay. Now, he wants to know about Koheles. Again, it's a little bit late for this discussion. But anyway, he suggests that if we're looking to abridge the services, we don't want long davening because of the sakana, then Koheles is going to add, if I would be exaggerating, if I said 20 minutes or 25 minutes, So he says the following, that back in the time of Rabbi Kiva Eiger, there was a cholera epidemic, and Rabbi Kiva Eiger wrote a letter in which he says, leave out all the piyutim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the reason he says we can omit it and cut it out during the Magefa is because it's only a minhag. And Rav Shechter, by equation, by analogy, says that reading Koheles is also a minhag. And if you take a look, he says, in Masechta Sofrim, well, you see the Kriyas HaMegillos are codified, each one for its appropriate respective holiday, you will see that it's called a minhag. He says the following, I would suggest that if we really want to be Mekayim this Minog, and we think it's not a Sakana, then the better idea would be to postpone it until Mincha in the afternoon. So let me just read a little bit of a summary, a very, very short summary of what we said, that because of social distancing regarding Oshanis, it would be preferable for either the Chazan or the Rabbi to circle around the Shul by himself. And the same would apply for Simchas Torah, where we want to minimize the number of people carrying the Sefer Torah, and dancing should be avoided. With regard to the length of the davening on the day, because of Koheles can be read later in the day at Mincha, or omitted. And as far as, again, the Korim are concerned, we're going to try to squeeze the three Aliyos of the Zos HaBracha with a fourth Aliyah of Bereishis and a fifth Aliyah of Parshas Pinchas, followed immediately by the Haftorah, and after the Brachos of the Haftorah, Chatzikach. Okay. Now, the next item on my list comes from the Minchas Osher. And we have here in front of me, I have Simon Yud Zayin, which you have. And that's called Mitzvahs Sukkah Be'idon HaKorona. And Simon Chaf, which is a very fascinating Simon, for me personally, on two different levels. First of all, it's all based on a Gemara in Erev, which I just learned recently. So that's why I'm excited about it. And number two, it has a very fascinating hashkafic perspective to it. So he says that I got the following shaila. Somebody violated the rules of the health department. He calls it rashlanut. You know, he was very careless. And guess what? He tested positive. He didn't wear a mask. He came close to people he should have been further away from. And now he's in a very bad state. So the Shoel quotes a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says that you should not eat an onion. It's on Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara later on backtracks that it's a specific part of the onion. It's not the bulb of the onion. Anyway, Rabbi Hanina paid no attention and he ate the onion. The onion had a poison in it. And he was about to die. Now listen carefully to the Gemara's language. Bikshu chaverov rachmim olav v'chai. Mibnei Shashot Srichalo. So the Shoel says, it doesn't say Bikshu Chaverov Rachmim Olav, it says Mibnei Shashot Srichalo. The implication is that for the benefit and the salvation of Rabbi Hanina, who was someone that the whole generation depended upon, they gathered together and prayed on his behalf. Mashma, it would seem from the Gemara, that if not for the fact that Asher Tzrichalo, they wouldn't have prayed for him. So the Ritva writes, Afal pi shekidai hoya lochuv li atzmok she'ovar al divrei chachamim. And the Shoel, asking Rav Weiss's question, says that the Ritva apparently understood that Rabbi Hanina doesn't deserve prayer. Wow, I mean, your hair can stand on end when you hear such a thing. Why doesn't he deserve prayer? Says the Ritva, Mipnei shechav al atzmo, he brought it upon himself, she'ov al divrei chachamim. He deliberately ignored the chacham, the words of the chacham, he placed himself into danger, he's about to die, laws up it, but no, we can't. Why? Because hashad tzricha. And Rav Yaakov Emdin, who's many centuries after the Ritva, he writes, Ilule shashot tzrichalo lo hayu mispalim olav. Mipnei shegaram ra li atmo vehichlis atmo besakono vareu nischayv benafsho. Both the Ritva and the Yaivitz, in interpreting this Gemara, agree that if not for the fact Shashot Tzrichalo, they would not have prayed on his behalf. The Ritva says that they wouldn't have prayed on his behalf because of Avral Divrei Chachamim. The Yaivitz says they wouldn't have prayed on his behalf because who? Sikenes Atzma. So now, we get back to our case. This fellow ignored all the rules of social distancing, of wearing a mask. He came in close contact with people, and sure enough, he contracted the disease. Maybe you could say, lo aval divrei chachamim. I'm not exactly sure why the Shoel thinks that it's not, according to the Ritva, we should pray for him. But he says, there's no takonis chachamim. It's not like the case of, the onion, where there was a special, statement of the Chachamim that you're not allowed to eat this part of the onion because it has such a serum in it, some sort of a poison in it. But he says, according to the Yaivitz, it's crystal clear that a person who knows that this is such a dangerous disease, and yet he exposes himself to that sakana, says the Yaivitz, Ein royalist Paul Bishvila. And now the Shoel says to Rav Weiss that we should be choshesh for the Yaivitz, because the Yaivitz says it's not appropriate to daven on behalf of someone who put himself into danger. And therefore, maybe we should not be davening because of the Yaivitz. Again, according to the Ritva, the Shoel is of the opinion that we would certainly be allowed to daven on his behalf. Because in this case of Corona, he did not violate a mimer, an enactment of the Chachamim. That this is Sakana and you can't do it. You're not allowed to eat it. Here, he didn't violate any takon of the Chacham. I mean, I'm a little perplexed by this because I don't know if you need a takon of Chacham in here. If it's, and maybe we'll get a chance to read what Rav Kadevsky writes about this time period. I mean, if it's a danger and the Board of Health is telling you exactly how you avoid that danger or at least minimize the danger, then that's as good as a takon of Chacham. I would think that's a lot worse than a takon of Chacham.
I'm sorry, Rob, a couple of questions for you, just to clarify sure. This. First of all, this person that we were talking about, he got corona because he was negligent or because he got it?
He was negligent. That's called rashlanut in Hebrew. He exposed himself to people without any social distancing. He did not put on a mask. And sure enough, he contracted the disease.
So you're saying that they shouldn't be, you shouldn't be davening for him because of that?
The Shoel is saying that according to the Ritva, we should be davening for him. Because he didn't violate lo avral divrei chachamim. There was no takonis chachamim. But according to the Yaivitz, we should not be davening for him. Because the Yaivitz says that when a person puts himself into sakana, we don't daven for him.
So, can I just ask that could it be that they davened in the case in the Gemara? They prayed for, they got davened for him because they need him, because that's a stronger tefillah that they'll use. It's
not No. It means that for the benefit of the dar, if Hashat Tzrichalo, we're going to override any, you know, any inhibitions, and we're gonna have to. We have no choice but to daven for it. But if
you can't say that it's going to be a stronger tefillah, they're going to say we need him, so please, you know. In other words, it's not they're not going to daven for him if they didn't need him, but they can. Their tefillahs would be much more powerful if they need him. That's
again. But Joe, listen to the way the Ritva and the Yavetz are both, without any disagreement, unanimously reading the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mipnei shashat tzrichalo." The word "mipnei" means, according to both the Ritva and the Yavetz, is that the only reason they davened for him. Again, I'll read the Gemara once more. Ubikshu chaverav rachamim olav mipnei shashat tzrichalo. They're emphasizing the word "mipnei." And they understand mipnei is the reason why they daven for him. And they're learning that otherwise they would have not daven for him. If it wasn't Shah Tzrichalo, it would be A, according to the Ritva, of Al Divri Chachamim, or B, according to the Yavetz, he put himself into danger. It's only mipnei Shah Tzrichalo. It's like Esei Dochalosas or Pikuach Nefesh. They override the normal considerations and the rules. We would not daven for him. That's the way the Ritva and the Yavetz are reading this. And if by analogy a person ignores the rules, exposes himself to corona, then unless it's Hashat Srichalo, he's like the God of Adar, he's like Hercules holding up the whole atlas, you know, then we shouldn't be davening for him. Now what I find very interesting about Rav Weiss's response is that he does it in two stages. He's not yet ready to read the Gemara and interpret the Gemara. He is, at this stage, analyzing the premise of the Shoel and smashing him to smithereens. He says, basically, that the Shoel is making a major mistake. What does he mean? He's saying that we have to, according to Ritva, everything's fine. We'll daven for him. But we can't daven for him because we have to worry about the sheet of the Yavetz. Says Rav Weiss, the Yavetz does not oppose tefillah in such a case of a chola that was negligent and put his life into danger. What the Yavetz is saying is that I don't have to daven for him. It's not that if we want to be machmir for the Yavetz, well, we should avoid davening for this person. That's not what's going on here. The Yavetz is only saying that I'm not obligated to daven on behalf of someone who put himself into danger. He made that decision. Okay, fine. I'm not obligated to daven. But what do I lose by davening? The Yavetz is not saying there's some Isur Tefillah over here.
Our whole davening in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is, right, it's off the Peshayim. We're asking for Hashem for Rachamim when we do things purposely.
Right, well, that's because we're asking for ourselves, maybe. But I don't know if I have to ask for someone else. You know, if I tell you, I don't mean you, Joe, I'm just saying you in the generic sense. If I tell you, don't jump off this mountain, then I don't know if I have to daven for you. If you jump off the mountain, then you're basically like a suicide case. You don't jump into the water. There are major undercurrents. So that's the Yavetz. But Rav Weiss is saying the Yavetz is not opposed to tefillah. You know, it can it shatten, as we say in Yiddish. You know, it couldn't hurt if you daven for it. There's no Iser to be mispal for him. And if you, the Shoal, agree that according to the Ritva, we are obligated to daven for him, then don't worry about the Yavetz, about the Yavetz. The Yavetz is just neutral. He's just saying there's no obligation, but the Yavetz is not opposed to davening. So that's his first comment here. And now we get on to his second comment. He says, first of all, how can you postulate a machlokes between the Ritva and the Yaivitz? With all due respect to the Yaivitz, the Ritva is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. The Yaivitz is one of the Achronim. By virtue of the rules of Psak, we have to always be machria in favor of the Rishonim against the Achronim. So certainly in a machlokes, in inverted commas, between the Ritva and the Yaivitz, the Yaivitz is a chveis, I don't know, three, 4 centuries, probably 4 centuries after the Ritva, I don't know, I have to check my history books. And there's no question that we're going to paschal like the Ritva, and you, by your own admission, Mr. Shohill, admit that according to the Ritva, we are required to daven on behalf of this person. Then he says something else, which I thought was very interesting. He says, why don't we find anything in the Rishonim, except for the Ritva, about this issue of davening? He says it would make more sense to assume that all the Rishonim understood that you're allowed to daven for this person. And then he goes on to say that we should really, according to all Rishonim, interpret the Gemara like the Keren Ora. The Keren Ora says that what Chazal are trying to convey here is that the tefillah, the power, this is similar to what you were saying before, Joe, that the power of that tefillah is so great because Shatzrichalo, and God therefore intervened and sent the refuah for Rabbi Chanina. But the Gemara is not talking at all about whether you're allowed to or you should or should not daven on behalf of this person, in this case, Rabbi Chanina. You can see how Rav Weiss is very intolerant here of raising the possibility that they would have hesitated in davening on behalf of Rabbi Chanina. And then he says, that this is really, in a sense, the clincher, then he's going to present to Marsha, read the Gemara carefully. So I'll read it to you the way the Shoel read it, and then I'll read it to you again the way it's written in the Gemara. The Shoel read it, that Maisav Rabbi Chanina shachal chatzi batzal v'chatzi nachashibo chalo v'notel amoves and bikshu chaver of rachmim olav mipnei shashot zricholo. That's not what it says. It says chalav inotel amavis ubikshu chavero rachma chavero of rachmim olav, and then it says v'chaya, he lived, and then it says v'nei shashot zricho. So you put a comma after the word v'chaya, meaning they were v'akish rachmim because Rabbi Chanina is ill, and for any person who's ill, and how much more so as someone as great as Rabbi Chanina, we daven. And the tefillah was accepted. Why was the tefillah accepted? After all, Rabbi Chanina was no telomos. He was on his last breath. And the answer is, mipnei shashot zricho, that the divine being intervened in order to save Rabbi Chanina's life. But as far as their davening is concerned, they had no hesitations or inhibitions about davening. And that, says Rav Weiss, is the way all the Rishonim learned this Gemara. Now, he presents the Marsha. I know I'm probably spending too much time on this, but I'm very fascinated by it. He says that the Marsha says that this Rabbi Chanina in the story is none other than Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was someone whose tefillos were always accepted on high. And that's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Daled Omid Beis. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa brought about tremendous miracles and salvations through his koach ha-tefillah. Says the Marsha, what the Gemara wants to convey is that Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa could have prayed for himself. But since he was in such a bad situation, where his life was hovering by a thread, he understood that he would have to die, unless Shashat Srichel. But to daven for himself and say, God, Hashat Srichali, that Rav Hanina ben Dosa couldn't do because of his humility. It's Chaver of Hem Shebikshol of Rachamim. As far as he was concerned, it was too late for tefillos, too late for, he was dying. But others could be Mevakesh Rachamim because Hashat Srichel. So it's quite clear that according to the Marsha, even though he violated the Divrei Chachamim, we should daven on his behalf. And then for the balance of this tshuva, Rav Weiss goes on to say that this would be some inyan chamur. You'd be very, very intolerable to say that we should be inhibited about davening for someone whose life is absolutely in danger. And not only that, he says, we paskin Shulchan Aruch from the Beis Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, accepted the Shulchan Aruch, except in those places that disagree, and there's no mention, nowhere in Hilchas Tefillah, that you should not be davening for someone who was negligent about his own care and his own health, you know, health precautions, if I could use that term. Okay. Now, okay, this I have to apologize to the Canadians here, because you may have heard that here in Israel we have something called Malone Corona. You know about this? Okay. So, by the way, if you're interested, there are a number of yeshivas now that have been converted by the government into Corona hotels. I know of one yeshiva where 300 guys tested positive. So they made it into a Corona hotel. For the guys, it's wonderful. For the yeshiva, it's wonderful. Because now the government supplies all their food. They live in hotel conditions. They have minyanim. They're dancing together. Everything is like normal, with Sifrei Torah and the whole thing. So the only way of legally in this country having hundreds of people celebrate Simchas Torah this year in the same way that we do it in every year, you'd have to contract Corona. In any event, the question is as follows. We'll call him Reuven, just making up a name. Reuven has a mishpacha, and Reuven contracts Corona. He's got to go into Bidud, which means that he can have absolutely no contact with his family. The family will build a sukkah. He's not allowed to enter into that sukkah. No way, no how. But he has another option. He can enlist in a Corona hotel. The government is offering him that option. And the question is, for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkah, is he obligated to pack his bags, leave his house, and pack into a Corona hotel for the course of sukkahs? And this could still be relevant even today.
He's tested positive, or he's might.
He tested positive for Corona, and now his only option for the mitzvah of sukkah, and they're offering this to him, is to live in a Corona hotel for a full week. I mean, I know people who would just love to get that option, but this guy's not interested. He doesn't want to move out of his house. But on the other hand, he has to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, there are three different issues here. Number one, perhaps he's a chole who's potim in a sukkah, because he contracted the disease. Number two, for him to leave his house to go into the Corona hotel, he's a mitztayer, and a mitztayer is potim in a sukkah. And number three, we have a general principle called ones rachmana patre. that if the circumstances that are thrust upon a person against their will, then they're potter. They don't have to be penalized by the Torah. They don't deserve any punishment. Point number one. Is there a principle of a chole potter min asukkah? The Mishnah says that a chole is potter min asukkah. We're not talking about a chole sheyesh bo sakana. He's potter from all the mitzvahs. We're talking about someone who has a bad headache, he's got eye aches. That's the Mishnah in Chafei, and it's passing by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Reish Mem. It's irrelevant to our discussion. There's no such thing as Chola Potter Min HaSukkah. There's no such thing as a Chola who's potter from any mitzvah of the Torah. And certainly not Sukkah, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa on the highest level. But Chazal say the mitzvah of Sukkah requires Teshu Ke'en Taduru, so that he is suffering from a migraine headache, Nebuch. If he goes into the Sukkah, he will suffer that much more. And therefore there's no Teshu Ke'en Taduru. He's potter min HaSukkah because he doesn't have the possibility of having a yeshiva b'Sukkah. That certainly has no application to our case. Because if this fellow packs his bags and moves into a Corona hotel, maybe he'll get the suite on top, on the top floor. He certainly is Teshu Ken Taduru. You know, he has a perfectly beautiful sukkah that he could sit in. So there's no such thing as, well, he's a chola. You know, he has 39 degrees temperature, so therefore he's potter min HaSukkah. A chol is potter min HaSukkah because if he goes into the sukkah, he'll have it worse. He'll suffer even more severely from the sukkah. And therefore, if he's going to suffer because of the sukkah, he's potter min HaSukkah. That's not Teshu Ken Tadu. That's a very unique halacha that applies to sukkah. We should not walk around thinking that a chol is potter min HaMitzvahs. It's only sukkah. Okay. Now, let's get to Mitztayer. In the case of Mitztayer, the classic case that's brought down in the Poskim, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, and it all comes from the Trumas HaDeshen, is that in the middle of his Suda, the lights went out. Kava Nero. Okay. So now, he can go and eat the rest of his suda in his friend's sukkah. He has a carte blanche invitation to his friend's sukkah. And the Ramah says he doesn't have to do so, based on the Trumas HaDeshen. That's called Mitztayer Potter Min HaSukkah. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, Ein Arev Li Adam Lechol Mishel Chavero. It's not pleasant for him to be served a meal by someone else. Again, you know, obviously that's not an ironclad rule. If somebody invites you and it's an invitation from the depth of his heart and you feel comfortable as a guest there, that's one thing. But here we're talking about a case where it's very uncomfortable for him to have to pack into someone else's sukkah and expect them to host him for a meal. And the Ramah says that to force a person or require a person to pack his bags in the middle of a meal and move to another sukkah and invite himself to his friend's sukkah, that's called Torah Gadol. And if it's Torah Gadol, then Mitztayer Potter Min HaSukkah. Again, we're talking about a case, if we pay attention carefully, where the lights go out in the middle of his Suda. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Milsa de Pshita, de Misha ein lo makom bechatzero. It's too tight in his backyard, in his courtyard, to create a sukkah. Chayav lasoso sukkah b'makom acher. He's got to find a place and build a sukkah, v'sham beso, And that's where he's going to be packing out and camping out for a week. And we'll see this in all the poskim. So again, if you talk about someone who has his own sukkah, he has to pack out in the middle of the sukkah because the lights went out, it's pitch black. And it's a tremendous tircha for him to pack up and move to another sukkah and invite himself, impose himself on someone else. That's one thing. But if you're telling me that you can't set up a sukkah here, right outside your house in your backyard because there's not enough space, well, go ahead, says the Mishnah Berurah, and find yourself a space. Build a sukkah and be mekayim the mitzvah. Therefore, if this fellow tested positive for corona before sukkahs, he's got X number of days or hours before sukkahs, he should set up his sukkah in a place where he can sit in the sukkah. He can't sit in the sukkah in his house because he's got corona. Let him sit in the Corona Hotel. They have a beautiful sukkah waiting for him. This is not mitztar potim in a sukkah. This is a case of the Mishnah Berurah who says if you don't have a good, adequate spot in your backyard to build a sukkah, go wherever you have to go in order to build a sukkah, and that's where you're going to live for 7 days. Here's a case where, according to Mishnah Berurah, he has a great place to go for the 7 days of sukkahs, and that's the Corona Hotel. He says the following. L'chein nire, da'chole b'korona, v'ein b'yodol ha'sheves b'sukas beso. He's got to be in quarantine. We can't allow him to eat with the rest of the family. Tzorech lavar u'lisareach b'molonos. He's got to find himself a hotel. K'dei lo levatel mitzvah gedola v'chaviva zu. He gives sukkah a grade over here. He says, "V'afal gav de noach lo yosel l'sheves bebeso." You know, he's got all his conveniences at home. Who wants to pack your bags and go into Corona Hotel? He's got to do so. Now, at the end of this tshuva about the Corona Hotel, he wonders if we have a case of ones. Where's the element of ones? So he says that we find in some areas of halacha, and he quotes a chayodim for this, that if a person has to pick up and leave his house, he may be called an istinus. I'm trying to figure out an English translation, but an istinus is someone who's overly sensitive. You know, he has a very bad reaction. He almost has an allergic reaction to certain situations. And therefore, what happens if the conditions in the hotel where they're sending him are not great conditions? Ha'ishu istinus, and we have a principle that onus rachmana patre. And how much more so, excuse me, in the case of sukkah, because there's a mitzvah simchas yontif. So Rav Weiss comes to the conclusion that there's no absolute answer to this question. It's very relative. If it's a tzar gadol, he says that might be considered, again, this is a fascinating methodology, as more than a chomesh, right? For a mitzvah, you spend up to the ceiling of 20% of your assets. He says if this guy is going to go through tzar gadol because of this fashtunken or malonit, pardon the expression, and because he's an istinus, so that's going to undermine his Simchas Yontif, he says that's not worse than 20% of his assets. But again, that's a very subjective call. You know, I don't think you could hire a referee for this. But he writes at the end of the tshuva that even if he decides that he can't tolerate this Corona hotel, mikol makom olav limtzo pitaron acher, he's got to find the solution to his problem. He says pitaron yoter noach lo, something that's more comfortable that he can live with. And before Yontif, he's got to find a place where he can set up his sukkah, min ha-goren min ha-yekev, and he could be mekayim in the midst of sukkah in its time. He's not potter. You know, he may be an onus if he's an istinus in one particular alternative that he has, namely that set up in the Corona hotel, but that doesn't mean that he's potter from the mitzvah. Very, very interesting. Okay, I'm going to take a break now for questions. If anyone has any questions, you can ask them now. We're talking now about the mitzvah of sukkah during Corona period. And here's the question that was asked. In Manhattan, there are Jews that live in this giant building, like my mother-in-law, for example, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, in the co-ops on Grand Street. He doesn't mention that. And they don't have porches, so they can't build their own sukkahs, and they have a communal sukkah, which is in the chatzer, right off the entrance into this gigantic building, this very tall building. Now, in order to allow people to eat in the sukkah, and we touched on this last week, sometimes it's in a base knesset, but here he's talking about a case where it's in the chatzer of this building. He says we have to set up a rotation system in order to allow people to eat in the sukkah. By the way, here in, I'm in Har Nof now, but in Katamon, they organized a sukkah, a communal sukkah with caps, which is set up in capsules. It's really fascinating. If anybody wants, I think I could send you a picture of it in the WhatsApp. And it's kosher v'yosher according to the very strict machmirim here. And he wants to know, if there's a limited amount of space in the sukkah, should we exclude the women because they're potter min ha-sukkah? And he says the first possibility is that we should allow people just to eat a kezayis pas and then eat the rest of the suda, the balance of the suda back in the house. He was asked a question by a young Kollel member who just got married and his wife contracted the disease, so now he's living alone. He doesn't have a possibility of setting up a sukkah, and he was planning to spend sukkahs with his family, but as we said before, his wife contracted this disease. The government requires that if you had contact with anyone who contracts the disease, you have to go into quarantine. So what does he do on Sukkos? So Rav Weiss says that when it says mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah, that's referring to a person who took into account all the situations that will arise or could arise. He maxed out with his, shall we call it, hachana, his ishtadlus. And nevertheless, he's a mitztayer. He goes into the sukkah, and he suffers as a result of the sukkah. But that doesn't mean that a person is not obligated to do all his ishtadlus before the chag in order to guarantee that he'll have a sukkah without tsar, as we discussed earlier. A person can't say, well, he doesn't have space to build a sukkah that's close to his house, and therefore have to go far at a distance that if it's tired, he's potter in a sukkah. No. He has to find himself a sukkah where he could set up his shulchan and he could eat and do whatever he has to in the sukkah. And if it's not possible otherwise, then he has to go to a place where he can set up his sukkah, even if it means it's at a distance. And he quotes a whole bunch of sources, and he says that the Chassam Sofer comes out very strongly about the Mishtabshim, you know, those who make this grave error, and they think that we're not mechuyev to build a sukkah in some place that's distant from the house. That's a big, big mistake. And the truth is that 3.5 centuries before the Chassam Sofer, the Levush of Mordechai Yaffa already writes that Lo Amrina de Potter Eladafka Shebolo Atsar Bimikra Acher Sha'osa Sham Sukoso. So it's a tsar bimikra, but Elo Lasso Sukoso Lechatrila Bimokom Reachra Ruach, and then say Velomar Mitztarani, and I want to leave the sukkah. So it means, again, that he has to build a sukkah in a way that will guarantee him the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, if you ask how much money does a person have to spend on one particular year in order to build and have a sukkah, he says, even forgetting about Corona, let's say it was a normal year, it would seem that there's a limit to how much money he's required to spend. Because ein adam chayv levazbeis hon rav ala mitzvahs. And as we said before, the maximum he has to spend is shlish. He says, therefore, what happens if a person will have to spend a lot of money in order to purchase a sukkah? And Bedera Klali writes, Motzi Hotzos al sukkah shishtamish bo shonim rabos. He says that it's one thing to ask a person to spend a lot of money on a sukkah, which is going to last him for the rest of his life. But in this case, he doesn't have a sukkah. He's a corona victim, so to speak. And he just needs to spend money to get himself a sukkah for this particular year. And once again, you know, there's no ptur here from sukkah. He's obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. He says that Rov b'nei Adam ochlim she'ochlim b'sukkah shel beis hakneses einam min amedagdikim b'mitzvus ki amedagdikim b'mitzvus yesh lam sukkas b'bateyem o b'misarchim etzol b'nei mishpacha kidei sheyuchlu lechol kol yimei achag b'sukkah. U'bederech chal hayoshim, those who take advantage of a community sukkah, are those shomrei mitzvahs who are not so mahadrin, they're not so meticulous and superly pious u'medaktik b'mitzvahs. So they eat in the sukkah, rak b'yimei chag, only when it's yontiv, on chol hamoed they will eat in the house without a sukkah. For such a person, he says, for sure, they're not going to be toreach enough for the mitzvah. But in the case of, let's say, the rabbis who don't have the opportunity to create a sukkah, and the shul offers the possibility of a communal sukkah, he says, Yesh lahaktzel sukho mishpachas man katsuv. Each family should get a specific amount of time in which they could eat most of their suda, if they eat it quickly. And we'll add another minute or two for Tosefes Zemer Kolshi Lichvod HaChag. And that's how much time they should allow to every single mishpach. He says that for a couple, he thinks all you need is 20 minutes. And for a small family, you need a little bit more time for Kiddush and to eat the Ikar Suda. And then to vacate the spot because you want to give it over to the next shift. Now, in terms of creating a kind of system of priorities, a triage for who will use the sukkah first, he says we should first give it to the elders, the zkenim, the older people. It's difficult for them to go home and then come back and so forth and so on. They're already coming to the Beis HaKnesses for davening. Let them go into the sukkah immediately first so that they could, with the end of davening, they could eat their meal. They'll finish up real quick, eat the kazayas, they'll go out, and now the younger people will come in. He says we should not in any way block the women from sitting together with their families. That would be a bittul of Simchas Yontif. It would not be Kein Taduru. And I'm absolutely sure, he says, that we should be Koveya Yimonom Rabbi Milechel. If we separate the men from the women, that'll prevent many people from eating in the sukkah. He says we should give an allotted time, a special limited amount of time for each family to eat in the sukkah. And they should eat only the main points of the sukkah. It's not a good idea that they should wash, eat a kazayas in the sukkah, and then eat the rest of the meal at home. Because even if you're eating meat or fish or other things that are shahakol, that's not potter min hasukkah in a case where you started your ikar sukkah in the sukkah by eating a pas, because then the entire suda should be eaten in the sukkah. That's called the sudas keva. If need be, he says, we should designate for each family a few moments to wash their hands, to eat a kazayis pas, to bench birkas hamazon, and then to vacate the place for the next on line. They have fulfilled their basic chiyuv of sudas achag, and let them eat barburim uslov v'dogim in their homes. They'll be mekayim the mitzvah simchas yontif. They should eat whatever is birchas or shahakol, and they're not chayv in sukkah mikra din. And he says the following. This is what I think is the best way of organizing it so that in a small amount of time, everyone will get an opportunity in that communal sukkah to be mekayim the ikar mitzvah sukkah. And for sure that's necessary on the first night. They shouldn't have to be misakev and as a result be mevatel simchas yontif. And zrizim aktiv l'mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to eat a pas, a kazayis pas in the sukkah on the first night. Now the question that crosses my mind, we'll see if he has only a few paragraphs left, if he'll address this question, I'm not sure, is those who are waiting for their turn, I mean, they're really hungry, what should they be doing? He says, Yesh lahachnis l'sukkah rakas ha'noshim v'lo ha'noshim apturis min ha'sukkah. If it's going to be this very quick wash, go in, eat a kazayis and bench, then the women don't have to go into the sukkah, they're potter. And once everyone ate their kazayis pas and benched, everybody should go home. They should eat their sudas yontif together with their wives and their families.